Welcome back to another edition of 68 Shining Moments, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Today, we find out if Ali Farouk Manesh really was serious with that shot.
Ali Farouk Manesh, the hero, the anti-hero of Kansas basketball. Ben Jacobson, we're back. How does it feel to watch that in real time? Ali, Ben, you look cool as a cucumber. A lot of people say that about you. Cucumberish.
I'll let Ali go first.
Ali, you watch this every Friday night? What do you do?
Yeah, every Friday night I make my wife and kids, we watch it before I put them to bed. But it's a family ritual now, so I'm pretty used to it. But
well, your wife's like a supermodel, so this the only reason that you ever, you know,
bring
that in was because you made that shot. So Ali, when you watch that, talk to me.
I mean, it still brings chills, and it's still like it's surreal just because. And when you watch it back, and I really don't watch it every Friday night. Most Friday nights, but not always. I remember watching it and being like, "How did we actually win this game? Like everything was falling apart." And then it just, I mean, we made a couple of plays at the end of the game, and I mean, almost turned it over again when you watch it right there. And then
you know how it all started, Tim? Ali threw a cross court pass for no reason that got picked off.
That was a pick six, wasn't it?
I feel like it was the setup of the actual press break. More than the player.
I got a pretty good memory. I can diagram it right now. It'd be better for you if we didn't go down that road.
Ben, when first of all, there was a bounce pass against the press, which I didn't approve of.
Your
point guard forwards it up the sideline of the floor, and Ali gets his drag step down. He gets his 1 foot down and just up one. We can run a little clock. No way, brother.
When the guy who was back for Kansas at the back of the press, he
was under the rim.
He started to move toward Ali. And when he realized I think Johnny Moran was on the other wing.
Excellent shooter.
So he starts to move toward Ali, and that's when I was thinking, all right, if they don't foul us, we move it around, right? We shoot it late in the shot clock, stop them once, we're going to the Sweet 16. Like, everything's wheeling through my mind, right? All the scenarios possible. Well, within 2 seconds, because he starts to back up. And
this guy moved one step, folks. By the way, this is a transcript of what's in his head. It would be 3 pages, 11 paragraphs.
Yeah. So as soon as he started to back up, because he started toward him, but as soon as he started to back up, everything left my mind. The only thing that was left was, well, he's going to shoot it. I hope he makes it because he's going to shoot it. So what people, and I've talked about this before, what a lot of people don't know is he had done this before. So it just wasn't against the number one overall seed on national TV.
The number one team in the country.
But he had done it over the 2 years. He had done it a handful of times. He did it in a home game against Illinois State. We don't have anyone across half court. They got 4 defenders back. And we have none of our players over half court, and they have 4 defenders back, and he pulls up in front of their coach 1-on-4 from like 28 feet, right? And he made one at Iowa State that we had to have with under a minute left, takes a 3 when we're like down 1 with 45 seconds. So, you know, our guys knew that, you know, whatever, you know, he's going to shoot it, which is when you watch it live and then you see the reactions, the still pictures in the people's faces behind him. Right, you see all that stuff, but but we'd seen it enough I went through every scenario possible for 2 seconds, and then the kid backed up, and I knew he was going to shoot it.
That is so cool, Ali. That was a heroic moment, honestly. I mean, that there's when you look at the essence of the NCAA tournament and the Cinderellas. That is a capsulating moment, like Bryce Drew's bomb where he hits the big shot, you know, the home run pass, and he hits it, dives on the floor. That is, you know, one of the signature moments of the entire NCAA tournament. And you've really turned it into a lifetime and a career, haven't you?
did you think it was going in when I was shooting it though? Like when I was actually shooting it, did you think it was going in? Like so in those 2 seconds, you thought out all those scenarios. Did you think out if that ball doesn't go in the hoop?
When you went up to shoot it?
Yeah.
Sure, I thought it was going
yes.
in.
Yes.
Is that what I'm supposed to say, Tim?
Yes, say yes. I think he hoped a lot. I think it was – I don't think he was surprised you shot it at that point.
I won't be surprised, and I did believe it was going to go in, yes.
Nice job. Do you feel better now, Ali? Have you been restless about that?
Not the last. I mean, the amount of mileage that he has gotten.
Yeah, I mean, like,
and that is that the last question?
Now he's worried about.
Can you now sleep better, Ali, knowing that I did?
For 10 years, I haven't slept about that shot. I've gotten a lot of mileage out of it. It still has shelf life right now, but I've never been comfortable with it.
Oh, do you think it was a good thing? Did you think it was going in? Like, I still need your approval now.
You're going to make it.
Wow. I'm still looking for the approval of my head coach. You know, I'm still a player at heart.
That's just right? Who you are, Ali. Ali Farouk Benesh. I can even spell it. Ali, you know, what I remember from Ali in the recruiting process, Ben, and your memories are starkly different than mine. I had just got the Colorado State job, and I flew into somewhere in Iowa, and I rented because I was my first Division I job. It was in the Mountain West at Colorado State. So I rented a Cadillac. So when I pulled up to Indian Hills Community College and Marcus Walker, who was the Mountain West Newcomer of the Year, so I wanted him to be impressed. And he was, and we signed him, and it was a great get for us. But there was somebody else running around in that gym that I thought just shot a lot. Can you guess who that was?
I was on the bench most of the time, but yeah.
You were what?
I was on the bench most of the time. So I don't know if you
it was just a workout. It was after the regular season. So, yeah, you were just in there just jacking him up there, Ali. Then he goes to help me out. Where did Ali go? Kirkwood. As I said, Kirkwood Community College. And that's where he became Northern Iowa's favorite son.
Now, the night that I went to watch him play, I think that was at DMAC.
That was at DMAC, yeah.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah. And it was at DMAC. And he shot a lot that night, too. He just didn't make very many. That's all we heard about from Wags at Kirkwood was how great he's
his
playing.
Coach. Yep,
all these shots and PJ keeps telling me, PJ Hogan, my assistant, keeps telling me, "Oh, he's playing pretty good. He's shooting. You know, he's making it." I go,
"We need to shoot."
What it's like after practice, getting in the car and driving a couple hours, right?
Yeah. Oh,
this kid better be good.
And then he goes 3 for 15, and you're like,
he doesn't make any of them. Now he played good, which was weird to me because they didn't tell me he was going to play good. They just told me he was going to shoot good. But he actually played good. Like, he moved his feet.
He did other stuff.
Well, yeah, he, like, did some other stuff. Yeah. And that's the reason that we offered shortly after that because, you know, we knew he could shoot, of course. So I wasn't concerned about him missing some shots. But he actually did some other stuff. And I don't know how much time we have tonight, but there's some of that other stuff he did.
We have time.
Some of that other stuff he did that night, it took a little while for us to actually
get out of him.
Well, yeah, get it to see it again.
Before we continue that interview, I just have to let you guys know that it is that time of year again. We have waited 2 years for this moment, and it is finally here. March's biggest tournament is back. Gonzaga is getting ready to run the table. Slippers are being fit as we speak. And our partners over at DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, are putting our listeners at the center of the action. How? If you bet $4 on an underdog in a select game this week and that underdog wins, you win $256. That's right, $256. Here's how it works. You download the app now. You use the promo code FIELD68 when you sign up. Scroll through the list of select underdogs, bet $4 on one of them to win, and cash $256 when they do. There is no better way for you to put your college hoops knowledge to the test and then to put your money where your mouth is with DraftKings Sportsbook. It's safe, it's secure, it's reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. I know this because I use them. So remember, the code is FIELD68, that's Field 6-8 to turn $4 into $256. For a limited time only, must be 21 years or older. Restrictions apply. Go to DraftKings.com for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, so, yeah, I was just going to say, so, you know, JUCO guards by nature need training.
Yeah. You're right. JUCO guards are bad people, right? That's what you told me.
I never said that. I said that about you.
Yeah, he was only talking about you, Ali.
Yeah. Yeah. Ali, you're from a sport family. Parents are volleyball coaches, coached in the Big Ten, coached all over the Mountain West. What was that like growing up for you? And then making your going to one junior college and really not getting a huge opportunity. And then going to another one and then ending up with your experience in Northern Iowa. So growing up, what were your ideals? What were your dreams? And then how it worked out for you ending up in Northern Iowa. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I think from day one, it was always to play in the NCAA tournament. And that was always the goal, just because growing up in Washington State and watching all those – well, none of them went to the NCAA tournament, but watching the NCAA tournament.
You can still watch it from there.
Yeah, exactly. And seeing – and how that process happened and the development of those players and everything. Like, I always wanted to be a part of that. And that was always my dream.
And how old are you then? 12, 14?
12, 13. Then we moved to Iowa. So then we're watching the Iowa teams like Adam Haluska and some of those guys, Jeff Horner. And I want to be like them. I want to play basketball at that level. I want to play in the NCAA tournament. And I was working out with them. You go to the field house, you get to go play with them all the time. So, you know, I'm thinking I'm decent at basketball, right? And no one else thought that. And so then I went to Indian Hills, and it's a top JUCO in the country, that plenty of D1 talent. And what I thought was, I go to a place where this is where all the D1 players go, the big time D1 guys that go JUCO, this is where they end up going after that, they go D1. And it didn't fit for me. I wasn't the type of kid that was going to work out at Indian Hills. And there was nothing right, wrong, or indifferent with just what was going on, but it's just the way it was. And Marcus Walker was ahead of me, and Marcus Walker he could put the ball in the basket.
He'll get buckets. He's fast.
As much as I didn't play defense, he did not play any defense.
And so, I love it. No,
yeah, you probably realize that later, but he could get a basket. And so our whole freshman class transfers, I decided to go back with Wags, and Wags helps me develop, and he's tough on me the whole way through. And I decided to put all my eggs in the basket and work as hard as I can. And it happened when Hogan was at – they used to do that crossover event up in Drake. And
what's
we that? Played
– what's the crossover
it event? Used to be like the – it used to be the D2 JUCOs and the D1 JUCOs in Iowa would play each other.
And that's a big deal. D2, yeah. Way less scholarship. D1, fully loaded.
Yep, exactly. And so we're matched up with Indian Hills in the game. And so I'm just geared up to play that game. Like, it's the same coach. Like, I'm ready to go. Exactly. I'm warming up the shoulders and everything. I'm getting my shots up again. And I get my first two shots up, and they're both air balls because I'm just so nervous.
Just a miss. But
we end up winning the game, goes in double overtime. I think I had like 37. And that's when the first time Hogan comes up to me and talks to me after the game. And so I'm super excited. And I don't know.
He just said hi, right? He just
– yeah, he just gave the head nod, actually.
I still want to make 2 points real quick.
Please.
The first point is what you said, Tim. PJ simply waved and said hi. Yeah,
the second incidental Ali, contact.
Yeah, Ali says, I think I had 37. He doesn't
– Oh, no, he knows that.
He had 37.
No,
all
right, no he
ahead.
Had 37.
Go ahead, Ali.
Exactly, yeah. 37. Please, Ali. I'll give you the total field goals and everything. But so
what were you for three?
I think I was 5 for 8.
No, I think there's no. I was five for eight.
I do remember there's one thing I remember of that game is I made the last three to push up 5 with like 30 seconds left, and I just stare down the coach on the other side.
Oh,
because I'm just well because he really
nice. Yeah he didn't believe
well,
in you.
Well, he didn't believe in me, and so like that was the dagger game over.
You said
like
Walker was better than you. Like, why does it always have to be the coach? Yeah.
Then it comes back to the coach's
fault. Damn right. I couldn't get 6 minutes. Can I get 6 minutes even? Like, there's got to be some time out on the court for me.
There should anyways. Be a few more if you're going to get 37 going.
It was the coach's fault. So, anyways,
never heard that before.
Yeah. So we go through the whole process. And honestly, like the reason why I chose you and I at the end of the day was I really believed that they believed in me. Like Coach Jake believed in me. Coach Hogan believed in me. Coach Green. And they did – their whole process was great. Like Coach Green recruited me. Coach Hogan recruited me. And then Coach Jake like was all in the rest of the way. And it came down to St. Louis and you and I at the end of the day. And
who was the coach at St. Louis?
It was Rick Majerus at the time.
Yeah. Not a small deal. So what was the one thing Jake said to you that convinced you to go to Northern Iowa? Was there a cool gym bag involved?
No, it was a handshake. With nothing else to it. And but
it was it.
What's that?
Ali, you can shoot anytime you want to. Like, but let's just say we're playing the number one team in the country. Yeah. And there's 35 seconds left. And we're
just hypothetical. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's 29 seconds on the shot clock. Go ahead.
He honestly just told me that, like, that we had a chance to win, and he really believed that we were going to win, and that we had Jordan Eglesieder and Adam Cook.
Now, Jordan, he was a seven-footer.
Yeah,
with great skill.
Great skill.
Good passer. Reminds me of a short, you know, Cameron Krutwig, who everybody sees now in the league.
Right.
Really better range than Cameron. And, right?
Super skilled. And he was all 7 foot. Like he was legit 7 foot and super skilled. And then Adam ended up being player of the year when he was a senior. And
Adam Cook.
So we had some guys. Yeah, we had some guys. Yeah.
We had player of the year, the gunner.
We just needed someone to shoot a lot. That's all we were missing, Tim.
Sign me up.
To shoot a lot.
And make a lot. And make a lot. We got to make them.
But that was the reason why, because Kajo was coming back off the injury. And so Kajoa was going to be there. They had Johnny
Sometimes Moran. You got to give a full name, guys.
Yeah, Kajoa Helligbuck.
This is a national podcast. Let's go worldwide. This is the best podcast in all of mankind. So you can't just say nicknames and Kajoa. You got to.
This is like official.
Yeah, you got to be. That's so I'm just coaching you up.
Kajoa Helligbuck, he's on board. Adam Cook's on board. Jake Cook, who's coming in the following year. Lucas O'Rear was kind of turning the corner. And
baseball all kid, guys, right?
Yeah, and these were all guys that were sophomores. So I knew that I was going to have a chance to play with these guys for two years in a row, and I thought we had a chance to be good. I'd never played with bigs at that level before, and I knew how much they talked about those guys, showed me how much they believed in them, and the way they talked to me about me and how much they believed in me, I thought we'd have a chance to win. And that's honestly, that was the biggest reason I chose it. I really believed that we were going to win.
Ben, you've had, what, three different teams win in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
There's been teams I've been affiliated with, and myself included, that have never won in the NCAA tournament and or rarely win. What do you think the ingredient to your success is at Northern Iowa? You know, obviously there's a level of toughness, camaraderie, and skill, and maybe that's the whole trick. But putting that together is a special spice, man. It's a special recipe.
Yeah, we did not win the first time we went in 2009, which would have been Ali's first year with us when he was a junior. Okay,
was that Ali's fault?
Yeah, most of it. Yeah.
3 for 15.
Yeah, so we did not win that year, and it was that was a great experience for me as a head coach. So, and I don't know if Ali will remember this, like. I thought we had to do some things, like some tricks, like because we're in the NCAA tournament. So, like, and when I look back on it, it was almost like I was sending a message that we're not quite good enough to win this game. Like, Coach, why are you putting these weird, like these weird movie clips up that you haven't put up all year?
You're trying
to motivate us all this different stuff when we just ran through from like January 15th through our conference tournament.
Now, back then, Wichita and Creighton were still in the league.
Yes.
So, not that the league is, but, I mean.
Right. Yeah, wow. They're both still in the league at that time. And we just blitzed the league from January 15th through the – we won the Valley Tournament. So, we got all the way through that. That was the biggest thing that I learned from a head coaching standpoint is, you know, we're probably good enough to win if we just play the way we're – but, you know, play the way that we played in the last game that we got done playing. And I think that helped us going forward. Now, we returned everybody but one guy, so we had good enough players the next year, which would have been the Sweet 16 year that we've been talking about. And then I had a coach, either I caught the clip or I talked to him about it, and I maybe even – I don't remember if one, it came up, Tim, maybe when the two of us were talking about the tournament a few years later than this. You got to kind of go in there and act like you own the place.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any sense of that my first year as a head coach in the NCAA tournament. I had been there three times as an assistant in 04, 05, 06. We went three times when Greg McDermott was our head coach. But my first time as a head coach in the tournament team, I didn't know. Yeah. And we cut that game down. We got beat by five. Like, we were down big, but we cut it down. And we had a chance to get it really close. So we played a good second half once we settled in.
Once you rediscovered who you were.
Exactly. Yep. That I think is the biggest thing. Like, when we get to those games, like, whenever it is, it could be a non-conference game at Colorado last year or some of the games wherever, what tournament. But for sure, when we get to the NCAA tournament, we just go in and be who we are and kind of act like we own the place. And I say that in a way of,
no,
you know, guys are respectful. Like, we're going to play hard. We're right. But
we are who we are, and we know it.
Yep. And we're either going to beat you or you're going to beat us. But we aren't going to beat ourselves, right? I mean, we're going to beat you or you're going to beat us. This is who we are. Let's go. Throw the ball up, right? I mean, I think that's been the deal.
So Michael Lewis was my assistant, and Michael was all-time assist leader out of Jasper, Indiana. He went to play at IU and was an all-time assist leader until Yogi Ferrell broke his record. And he worked for Brad Stevens after a few different jobs. He worked for Coach Knight, and he worked for Mike Miller, who was with the Knicks recently at Eastern Illinois. And Louis said the same thing about Knight and Brad Stevens, which was, whether we were on the road or at home, we are who we are.
Yep.
We don't even talk about it. So whether it be the NCAA or a tough road game, we're just going to do what we do. And sometimes you feel like, well, we don't have enough talent to be who we are. But if you have enough toughness, or you have enough resolve, or if we're tougher together longer, that's what I used to talk about with my guys. We might not be as talented as those guys, but if we're just mentally tougher, physically tougher, we're more together, and we do it longer than them,
yeah,
we're going to win this game. Yeah. And Ali, I just want to bring you back. You weren't quite with us yet in 2014, where Ben had had great success. Obviously, you're a huge part of that. So I called Ben. And we did have a conversation. I said, Ben, what do you think I need to do? You know, and Ben echoed some of the same points he just said earlier. He also said, you need to let the refs know that, you know, you belong.
Matt
Painter, so I just want you to know, wait, Ben. So, Ali, I want you to know, in 2014, I became one of an exclusive elite club of people, which was a man that had been eliminated from the NCAA tournament, ejected for technical fouls. And there's three of us, okay? There's me, thanks to Ben, because I was telling the refs that we belonged. And so I get kicked out because of Ben, basically. So there's me and this three men in all of the NCAA tournament of all time are the only guys been ejected. Me, Larry Eustace, when he was at Iowa State, and Dean Smith. One of these things is not like the other. And what I say is, you just don't know. Like, but Ben, thank you for welcoming me to that club. Basically, I want to just let you know that I took your advice.
I had forgotten that.
Be careful about listening to your coach, Ali. Shoot your shot.
I had forgotten about that little piece.
Remember that conversation?
Oh, I remember it now.
I did not forget. When I was walking out, and your buddy Greg McDermott standing next to me, like, are you okay, Timmy? I'm like, yeah, whatever, Jake.
I gotta go call Jake.
Jake's full of great advice, buddy. Jeez.
I got that from Painter in 2009. That was part of my first year experience. Like, I told myself going into the game in 2009 that I was not going to look at the ref. I wasn't going to say, like, this is the NCAA tournament. Like,
yeah, I'm not
doing nothing, man. I'm just going to just stand here. And we're like, we're not 30 seconds into the game. Painter walks toward the deal and starts barking at one of the officials that's close to him. And I'm like, whoa, I guess you're supposed to. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you're supposed to do that. So
that happens with the Big Ten too. Painter knows what he's doing.
Yeah. So blame that on Painter.
I'll gladly pass that on to Matt Painter. No doubt. Guys, listen, this has been a blast. Just kind of getting together again. Ali, you have to tell me this. Okay. what kind of guy, Ben, what kind of guy as a former player and you're his mentor, right, you know, just shows up at the NCAA tournament out in Omaha or Kansas City or wherever it is and just starts interviewing like a man in the street, starts interviewing people about the 2010 NCAA tournament. Like, who would do that, especially if they made the shot to break the hearts of the faithful of Jayhawk basketball who were on their way to another national championship? If it had not been for your freedom, Ben, and Ali's huevos.
Well, he's as we have found out again tonight, Tim, this the mileage that one person can get out of one shot. Like, hey, you know something that people don't talk about?
Have you seen his wife?
Well, yes. But you know something that never gets brought up? He was wide open.
For a reason.
It's not like a guy had a hand up, Tim. It wasn't like he was wide open.
No,
like,
it was a lot of guys,
a lot of guys that can make that shot. So anyway, the guy's gotten a lot of mileage out of it. Yeah.
Amen, brother.
I'm going to keep it going, Ali, as long as I can, too. Like.
Ali, how does it make you feel when you troll the KU fans as much as you do? Teddy Owens has tackled you one time in the open floor when we were at KU, and you recreated the shot. His dad, of course, was Ted Owens, longtime coach at KU. Do you feel bad at all? Do you have a conscience?
It's like Christmas morning over and over again, basically. So
you don't have a conscience.
It's nice to bring it to Teddy every single time, you know, and anybody else that you know, can enjoy it too. But it was fun. And
so you'll never be the head coach.
Was not my idea. Was not my idea. I got set up to do it. Was not my idea.
And you got free tickets to the regional, right?
What's that?
You got free tickets to the regional, right?
Yeah, I got tickets. So I had to.
Did you report that to the IRS? Did you?
Yeah, this is
reported. Yeah. Hey, guys, I love it. This was awesome. Thanks for coming on the singular most exclusive podcast in the entire world. It's the ruler of all podcasts. This is, I don't know what the ratings are going to be, but whoop, right through the roof. I know how this works. This is great. Thank you so much, Ben, for your time. Like, Ben, you had three different deals today, man. You are grinding.
That's great. It's great.
Ali, I'm losing my voice. Holy cow. What's that, Benny?
Yeah, just Ali, say hi to the family.
I will, absolutely.
Good to see you, brother.
Yep, good to see you, Coach.
Take care, everybody. Thanks for coming on.